Hello, my friends, and welcome to the DDP for the 4th of January. I'm Paul White, and I'm hoping you have a great day today. Welcome to our podcast, the Deeper Daily Podcast, where every day we try to go a little deeper into whatever subject or passage it is that we are exploring. We have been, for the last few months, walking through those Old Testament stories and passages. This started as just a fun little thing for me to do in the fall, sort of between books, between landing spots, where I would take some of those Old Testament Sunday school stories and look at them through what we know about Jesus and the resurrected Jesus and the crucified Jesus. And that was a fun journey. And then as I did that, I realized that that might be beneficial to our audience to do that with more of the Old Testament. It was about at that point that we decided to just sort of work left to right. And so for the last few months, we've been doing that, hitting passages of Scripture, things that are famous, popular passages, well-known, sometimes things maybe a bit more obscure, but things I've noticed over the years or have preached or have jotted down. And so that's why we are in Isaiah 53. And as we said yesterday, it is a famous passage in Christianity in regards to Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, but it's sort of infamous in Judaism for being the passage that is not read in their daily readings. And we walk through some of the reasons why that might be. Of course, I think it has to do with the fact that this is one of the most clear, the clearest pictures of our Lord Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. With that said, as Christians, it would benefit us to slow down a little bit in this chapter and walk through some of what's going on rather than sort of flying towards the more popular verses. The more popular ones, I think, start in verse 4, really go through at least about 7, where we find him bearing our griefs and sorrows and by stripes we're healed and all the beautiful stuff. We'll get to it in the next few days. But on our way there, if we pay attention, there are some important things, namely the verse we want to look at today, Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Put the we there as Israel. That is who rejects him. And you could also say Gentiles, but Jesus wasn't sent first to the Gentiles. He becomes a light to the Gentiles. We've talked about that recently, and the prophecies definitely point to that. Simeon says as much when he holds baby Jesus in Luke 2, that he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. But in his first incarnation on the earth, he is not here for Gentiles. He's here for national Israel. I have come for none but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's that first advent. So it's proper to say that the Gentiles rejected him because Rome rejected him, but really it's more accurate, both historically and prophetically, to say that Israel rejected him. So you can say the we from verse 3, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. It's prophetic. It sounds like we're talking about something in the past, like it had already happened. We know it hasn't happened because we're looking at this through a prophetic lens. And in doing so, we know that Jesus will be despised and rejected of men. The word rejected there is better translated forsaken. So Jesus would be despised and forsaken by men. We see that happen in his earthly ministry. We see people who do not like him. In fact, those who hate him to the point that they want to kill him and ultimately do. And he's definitely forsaken. Not only is he betrayed by a Judas and denied by a Peter, only the disciple whom Jesus loves remains at the foot of the cross. There's no record of any of the other disciples even sticking with him until his death. So he was forsaken by those whom he loved the most. That's the risk you run when you pull people close to you. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief is better translated a man of pains and acquainted with sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Now, this could lead to some different interpretations. You could say that Jesus is a man of pain and acquainted with sickness because he was around sick people. He was around pain. Or you could say that Jesus was a man acquainted with pain and sickness because he suffered pain and sickness. The problem with that last one is that it usually is rejected by a lot of people in Christianity because they don't have any room to see Jesus as ever getting sick. And so they say, well, no, it couldn't be that he was acquainted with sickness being his own sickness. He was just acquainted with others' sickness. But I don't want to give you the answer because I don't have the answer. I just want to give you an option. I just want to give you an idea. He's despised and he's forsaken by men. He's a man of pain that's acquainted with sickness, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. That next line right there, we hid, as it were, our faces from him, kind of seems to point towards we hid from him because he was a man of pain and sickness, not just because he was a man who hung out with pain and sickness. I don't want to land on one or the other. I just want to lay them out there as something to ponder on and to think about. My impressions, particularly lately, of the Lord Jesus in this first advent, of him on the earth, is that from a spiritual standpoint, there's no one you would rather have been around. There was no one who gave you such peace, such hope. From a natural standpoint, there was controversy around his birth. He wasn't educated. He came from a poor part of the world. He's not a Roman citizen. I think if you take Isaiah 53 literally, you could walk away and say there were physical reasons to want to not be around this man. And that is part of the hiding the face, and he was despised, and we didn't esteem him. And where I've landed is, the more I concentrate on what it means to be a disciple of Christ, the more I have to realize that Jesus in his natural state while on the earth could not have been the star in the room. Because if he's the star in the room, then he isn't acquainted with the things about us that make us not the star of the room. And Jesus came to be acquainted with all of the things that make us who we are, yet without sin. There's that fine line. And that makes me see Jesus through a lens that I think helps me to make him human in a way that really makes that sacrifice on the cross say something. I don't know if it does that for you. That's what it does for me. More from Isaiah 53 on tomorrow's podcast. I'll see you right here. Have a great day. God bless.